10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to hour number three of Radio Law Talk. I'm Todd Kunin, filling in for Fred Penny, who's on assignment. Denise Dirks, to my right. We have applied the deodorant. We're ready for hour number three. Cal, behind the glass. We make him sit behind the glass because he doesn't apply deodorant.
Didn't work, yeah.
Yeah. How you doing, Cal? Hanging in there?
Well, all is well.
Good. Good. Denise, you're raring to go for another hour of this?
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. We got a case or no case we're going to get to here in just a minute. We're going to cover cases, the Idaho murder case with Brian Koberger. Is that? Yeah, Koberger is the defendant. That we have an update on that one. Scott Peterson, convicted of murder a long time ago. Well, he's making some new arguments in his never-ending quest to get a retrial. Alec Baldwin makes a pitch in his involuntary manslaughter case in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Two guys convicted and in prison for 17 years in Los Angeles County filed a lawsuit seeking monetary compensation for the amount of time they lost in their life because they were incarcerated for 17 years. And other cases, if we can get to them, from the state of Utah and what have you. But Cal told us during the break that this setup
might take a little longer.
Yeah. And this, depending on how it goes, this one could be one that gives Denise the victory.
That's why she has her track shorts on. She's ready for a victory lap.
She could be the first to get to 50 points in this latest season of Case or No Case.
But then we'll just have offsetting wins.
That's right. Cal, take it away.
All right, here we go.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
Tam Carlton's dad and stepmom moved to Texas there to live out their golden years. They didn't last long. Tam's dad, Quentin, died within a few months. Tam's stepmother, Lee, said almost immediately, if Tam tried to claim any share of Dad's property, he, Tam, would be responsible for half the utilities, the property taxes, and the general maintenance and upkeep, because Quentin did not have a will. Tam believes he has the right to some of his dad's personal and material property, marital property, too. Other family members offered their opinions, but Tam had no siblings. He was an only child. Tam told Lee, the mom, to hire a lawyer to make sense of it all and not only rely on other family or the internet for advice. After Quentin's funeral, Lee called Tam and said, I've made out a will, and Tam, you'll get one quarter of my estate when I die, while her three children would get the other three quarters. Then her lawyer sent Tam a letter that he was to sign to relinquish all rights to his dad's estate. Tam refused, and he and Lee decided to go to their respective corners and to their attorneys to see if they had a case or no case on the matter of the Quentin Carlton estate. And Denise, I think you get to go first on this. And you know, or is it Todd?
It's Todd.
Okay, Todd, what do you think about this?
I think Denise should go first so that I can strategic answer.
I think all the things that that he and I would not be good at is this question.
It's a complicated one, I know, yeah.
All right. So I'm going first?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So let me get, who's the guy that died?
That would be Quentin.
Quentin.
Tam is the son, Lee is the mom.
Okay, is Lee the mom or the stepmom?
Stepmom. Second marriage.
Okay. So I guess the question here is, first, how much of the property in Texas is community property? How much is there anything, conveyance, you know, whereby if property's in both of their names, is there any conveyance where as a survivor, because she's on the title, it just goes to her? So there's those questions. How much of it is his separate property that would be was Quentin's separate property that would be his ability to bequeath to whomever he wanted. And it seems to me that
it's complicated.
Her saying, yeah, you get a quarter of whatever I get, whatever I had when I died, on paper might be equivalent to what he could get right now. But how do you know she doesn't squander stuff and doesn't have a whole lot left at the time that she dies? And maybe it's you get a quarter, assuming that it is the same or less than. It's very complicated.
And I think Tam is thinking, look, my dad got more than just a quarter of all of this property, and I'm entitled to his portion of this property. Because stepmom, you get half, I get the other half. That's what he's thinking. That's why he went to court.
Yeah. And I just don't know that he's necessarily correct in that. Yeah. Because she would certainly get her half as her separate property, but then as a survivor, she might get half. She might be entitled to half of his community share, which would again leave Tam with a quarter. So, what year was this?
This was fairly recent. I do not know the exact year. I believe it was in the late 90s, though.
Okay. Dang it, I really wish Denise had gone first, because for strategic reasons. All right, I'm going to guess that it's a case.
Okay.
And I will say it's a case, and Tam wins in the sense that he is able to get a quarter of what it is right now as opposed to having to wait. He shouldn't have to wait until Lee dies, right? So he gets that. But he is also responsible, assuming that it's not sold and she's allowed to stay, he's also responsible for the taxes and the upkeep to the extent that he now has commensurate with his percentage of ownership. So, case, and he wins, but he does have to pay his share.
Victory is hard to determine.
Yes.
Denise, what do you think about this?
Well, I think it's kind of a hard situation because I don't know Texas law.
Yeah.
That's the truth. But from what I do remember from property way back when I was in law school is that if you die without a will, it goes by intestate succession. Giggle.
Nice one. That's good.
Yes. Yeah. Well. And I've always liked that. I don't know why it makes me giggle.
Oh, I know why it makes you giggle.
So
yeah, I'm pretty sure I know.
You know, both he and his stepmom can inherit the property from his father. And it's true. If there was community property, she would already own half. And then she would get a piece of the father's. And the last piece would then go to the son. The stepchildren are not going to be involved in that decision.
So not Todd, until she dies, right?
So yeah. Todd was correct when he said that he might be stuck with that one-fourth still of interest in this inheritance that he's going to get when his stepmom passes if she lives by the will she says she's going to create. However, a lot of things could change, and the wills can always change. So the question becomes, does Tam, or the son, he's the son, does he take what is rightfully his now, or does he take something that might be more subjective in the future?
Kind of like an open-ended deal going forward, yeah?
Correct. Yeah. And I don't know if I was him, I'd take what I'm entitled to now, because that's pretty much a sure thing.
Well,
I'm going to say this. What'd you say, Todd?
I said it was a case.
And Tam wins?
A case, and he's able to enforce his, I get what I get right now, but he does have to pay taxes and stuff commensurate with whatever percentage he wins.
Okay, I'm going to say no case.
Fair enough. Doggone it. She's taking a gamble here, Todd, because she wants to win right now and take that victory line.
It's either him or I.
Yes, it is. It is a binary choice right here. And I'm not going to give you the answer until we come back.
All right. Sounds good.
I told you it was a long setup, so I apologize for that. This is Radio Law Talk with Todd Kuhnen and Denise Dirks, and the program will continue after we take our break right here on many great radio stations, border to border and coast to coast, and live at RadioLawTalk.com. We'll be right back.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99 and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. That's 800-283-6730.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do.
The best thing about Quick Quack Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell on your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-738-0170, 800-738-0170, 800-738-0170, 800-738-0170.
Do you run a business and want to learn how you can get between $10,000 to $5 million in 60 seconds? We're Biz2Credit, a top-rated online financing provider to hundreds of thousands of America's business owners. If your business does at least $120,000 a year in gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business in as little as 72 hours. Our terms are simple, repayment plans are flexible, and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $5 million in cash deposited to your business bank account in the next 2 to 3 days. Funding specialists are ready to take your call right now and get you the money you need, fast. Call 800-559-5523. That's 800-559-5523. Again, 800-559-5523. Call now.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
No points for you.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
So, Cal, you have the answer here to this case or no case about the property. You know, I when we were talking about it in the break. Let's put a dollar figure to it. Let's say the property's worth $1 million.
All right.
So let's say the property's worth $1 million, and let's say that it's a community property state. That means that the death of Quentin, was his name Quentin?
Yep.
At the death of Quentin, that property that's worth $1 million, $500,000 of it immediately is half the property goes to her because it's her community property portion of it, 50%. The other $500,000 that was Quentin's separate property, or his portion of the community property, now is split. Split because she gets half as a survivor, and then his biological son would get half. So in that situation of the $1 million, if that was what it was worth, Lee, that the kid's name? Lee,
yep.
Lee would get $250,000. He would get half of what his dad had.
Tam.
That's right.
Yeah, Lee's the wife. Tam's the kid.
So
yeah.
Tam would get half of that. Now, and my point on it was, Lee's suggestion was, tell you what, I'll agree to pay you a quarter. You can sign this agreement, and I'll agree to pay you 25% of whatever the property is worth at the time that I die. And then the rest will go to
my
kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that Lee, or that Tam, can say, no, I mean, what if the property value goes down? I shouldn't be subject to that. I'm entitled to my 25%, my $250,000 now. And I think that he wins on that.
Well, let me tell you what happened. This is really an interesting case to me. It is a case, and Tam does win. First off, Tam did not sign any letters and did not give up anything. And the Texas court ruled that because Quentin died without a will and had a child from a previous marriage, his current wife, Lee, would retain her half of the community property and one-third of the separate property. Tam would inherit Quentin's half of their community property and two-thirds of his separate property. Separate property is anything they get before the marriage, gifts, inheritance he got during the marriage. But there is a twist, Denise and Todd.
And?
As you might imagine. It was reported in this case that in the Texas Constitution, Quentin's wife, Lee, has the right to live in the house she shared with her husband for the rest of her life.
Her life, yeah.
But ownership will be divided in accordance with the intestate law upon her death. Therefore, the laws of intestacy, as Denise pointed out, only apply to assets that would normally have passed through a will. So she gets to stay in the house. It's not split in half until she dies. But ultimately, Tam gets his half.
Interesting.
That was an interesting case. It just struck me as a...
Okay. We should have thought of that because he was married before to Tam's mother.
Right.
So he probably did have property prior to his second marriage to stepmom.
Yep. Yep. And half of that goes to Tam. So
I got it.
I think Tam ends up winning. And that, friends, is... case or no victory lap for Denise at
so where
this
does the,
juncture.
And where does that put us then?
I'm at 47, you're at 48.
Here we go. Todd's 2 points away from a win.
2 points away to be decided next week.
Yep, there we go.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. Well, so Cal.
Yep.
Cal, so of the case or no cases this week, how many were actual cases?
Well, that one, I think two out of three were.
Two out of three.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, pretty
all right.
Sure.
So, you know, Cal gets to argue that, well, I only lied one out of three times.
And I won two out of three.
Awesome.
I'm only an occasional liar, Lord. It was just...
Okay. All right. We'll give you a third of heaven.
It was only Todd that didn't get that.
Yeah.
And God says, I understand.
I understand. Well, so where do we want to go here, Denise? Where do we want to go? Which of the plethora...
Well, let's just do an update.
Okay.
I think, you know, we talked a long time ago about the Fry Festival. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Stand by. Here we go. I got a sounder for you, Denise. Here we go. All right.
Now, Radio Law Talk News.
All right. So here, that's your update stinger there. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So Billy McFarland, he was part of the Fry Festival where there was this big island in the middle of nowhere, and they're going to have all these bands and all these celebrities there. And people were paying an enormous amount of money to go there. And when the people got there, they basically had dried sandwiches and maybe a little tiny, you know, one of those boxes of wine and not much of anything else. In fact, not even adequate restrooms or water or anything else. So, of course, he was taking... He went to jail for this.
Oh, yeah.
He served time because that was fraud.
That was bad. Are people still listening to this guy?
Well, yes,
funny
just
that you
might
should
be.
Say that.
Yeah, they just might be. But you know, of all the people, you know, he owed $26 million in restitution to these people, and then on top of that, he owes almost $7 million to the IRS. And guess who's going to get paid, and who is getting paid?
IRS and the lawyer.
The IRS is getting paid. He's making his payments every single month to that, and then when he asked when you're gonna, you know, pay back the $26 million, he goes, "I don't see that I can get a job making $26 million."
Yeah, he's starting the or selling tickets for and trying to promote this Fire Festival 2.
Yeah,
right. That he says is going to be this thing, and he says, "Look, the best way for me to pay back the money is to have Fire Festival 2."
I can see the spots. Fire Festival 2, because the first one was so good.
Yes, and I'm wondering of this. Look, at some point in time, you have to pump the brakes on the "if you build it, they will come" mentality. Look, it worked in Field of Dreams. That was baseball, you know? I mean, I think this guy was... This is an example of somebody taking manifesting way too far. If I just will it...
Hey, guys, I messed you over last time, but this time it's going to be better.
And he's already selling tickets for Fire 2.
Wow.
It's already doing that.
Wow.
And people are buying it. And it's just blows me away. So we'll see. If the same people lose money on the second that lost money on the first, I think at that point in time it's like, yeah, you don't get restitution.
Sure, you're right.
You shouldn't have trusted him twice.
They should have called it "Your Fired Festival" too.
Yeah, fool me once, shame on you.
No, they
twice.
Should just say, "I'm going to pay myself $26 million."
Yeah. What is it? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame.
Yeah,
we're just not going to get fooled,
yeah,
George W. Bush. See you later.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. That's 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473.
Hey, listen up. Before the weather changes, get new windows in your home and save possibly hundreds on your energy bill. Call the Window Replacement Hotline right now and take advantage of their special savings event. Get your leaky, drafty windows replaced with energy-efficient, beautiful, virtually maintenance-free windows at this year's rock-bottom prices. Our prices are so low, we don't want to scare the competition. The only way to hear about our window savings is to call. Yes, you must call our special toll-free number for the best window replacement prices in town. Get your new windows, patio doors, and more from the Window Replacement Hotline. Get ready for the change in weather. Save on your energy bills. Call right now for tremendous prices on new windows and beautify your home. Call the Window Replacement Hotline now. 800-710-3739. 800-710-3739. 800-710-3739. That's 800-710-3739.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. 800-352-3308. That's 800-352-3308.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choices, destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family, take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. 800-283-6730. That's 800-283-6730.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. 800-918-1376. That's 800-918-1376.
Hey, what's going on in here?
Nothing. Just taking a bathroom break.
Looks like I took the wrong week to quit drinking.
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
So two individuals in Los Angeles County that were convicted on charges stemming from a shooting and a shooting into an occupied house, and both of these guys ended up doing 17 years in Los Angeles. They have since had their convictions overturned by a court of appeals, and they are suing Los Angeles County for wrongful conviction, wrongful incarceration, and for a lot of money to get back because of their conviction. Now, this case raises some interesting points here, because this is not... We've seen people file lawsuits to make up time for a conviction when the conviction was based upon evidence that maybe was concealed by law enforcement, and had it come out that maybe the person would have been exonerated, or it pointed to somebody else, or a person was found to be absolutely not guilty, to be innocent of a crime, and they were wrongfully convicted. But that's not necessarily the case here with this. In this case here, the two were exonerated, had their convictions overturned by an appellate court, after a third person, who was also an inmate, actually confessed to being the shooter. And because that person confessed and they found the confession to be credible and what have you, the conviction was overturned as to these two individuals. But I guess the argument that the district attorney and the state is making is, look, they weren't wrongfully convicted. They were convicted based upon the evidence, and we didn't hide any evidence. And the fact that other evidence came to light after the conviction that nobody found, including the defense or the prosecution at the time of the conviction, does not mean that we, the state, were liable And they, the prosecution points to an interesting distinction that these two individuals are actually not innocent. They're just now not guilty. How do you have that distinction? I know how they have that distinction, but have you ever heard a distinction between being innocent and being not guilty in a criminal case? Do you know what the distinction is? You ever heard of that?
No.
No?
I've heard the terms, but I don't know the difference here. But it seems to me like you're not guilty in either case. I mean, you're either okay. Guilty or not.
So here's the thing. Notice that when I hear this in the news a lot, if a person is acquitted, they'll say that the jury found so-and-so innocent of the charges, and that is technically not correct. Because what the jury determines is whether or not the prosecution has met their burden of establishing beyond a reasonable doubt that somebody is guilty of an offense. So when a jury returns a verdict and saying not guilty, what they're saying is the prosecution did not meet their burden. Take O.J. Simpson, found not guilty of the murder.
Oh, so that's not innocent.
That's not innocent. It just means it's not factually innocent. It just means that there wasn't enough evidence to convict beyond a reasonable doubt, right?
Yeah, but then the presumption of innocence still is there.
The presumption of innocence is still there, but there's a difference between presumption of innocence and factually innocent. Again, go back to O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson found not guilty because the jury did not believe that the prosecution met its burden. O.J. Simpson was found liable for the deaths in a subsequent civil suit for the deaths of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. If O.J. Simpson had been factually innocent, he would not have even been found liable in a civil suit if he had been factually innocent.
Fair point. So basically, the not guilty verdict held out a little possibility he might be.
Yeah, it's just saying that there wasn't enough evidence to convict beyond a reasonable doubt. And it might be more likely than not that he did it. It just doesn't meet the legal standard for a criminal conviction. And that is essentially what the prosecution is saying in this case for these two individuals. They're saying, look, the evidence that came to light after doesn't really affect the evidence that was presented at trial. The fact that somebody long after the fact confessed to being the shooter and exonerating you doesn't change the evidence was presented at trial. We didn't know about that guy. You didn't know about that guy. Your defense team didn't raise reasonable doubt in the minds of the jurors to overcome the beyond reasonable doubt that we presented. You're not arguing that we fabricated necessarily evidence or that we withheld, that we knew about evidence that we withheld from you at the time of the convictions. It's just circumstances arose after the fact that led the Court of Appeal to overturn your convictions. And because of that, this is vastly different.
Yeah, but they gave up a long time for something they did not do. I mean, I can see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I can also see from where they sit and where their families sit, they didn't do this, but they did the time for it.
Let me ask you a question.
And they get the guy who actually did the crime to be liable for the time they spent?
What are your constitutional guarantees when it comes to criminal prosecution? You're entitled to an attorney, right?
Right.
You're entitled to a trial, a jury trial by your peers.
Right.
And what's the burden of proof?
Beyond a
reasonable doubt. Is there any constitutional guarantee that if you didn't do it, that you won't be found guilty of it?
No.
No. There's no constitutional guarantee of that. There's no constitutional guarantee. Tragically, there are people that didn't do it that get convicted. There are people that did do it that don't get convicted.
But the remedy is they can sue the guy who actually did it, maybe.
Lawsuit is different. That's civil and not criminal.
But I'm saying if they want money, they don't need to get it from the state. The state did its job. Go after the guy that did the crime.
And so in this case
who
here...
Who doesn't have money?
In this case so there's no constitutional guarantee that if you didn't do it, that you're going to automatically be exonerated. What you're guaranteed is that you'll have your right in court to prove that the prosecution didn't meet their case and do whatever. Now, if you lose at trial with those with the guarantees that you do have, you lose because the prosecution hid evidence, the prosecution engaged in misconduct, the police engaged in misconduct, yeah, you would absolutely have the right to receive monetary compensation for that. But if you lost at trial and were convicted of something you didn't do, and you can't show that the prosecution did any of that, look, you can't go...
This falls in the sometimes you win, sometimes you lose category?
It does. It does. Because, you know, that's... You were provided all of the guarantees that you had. And the prosecutor, I mean, the prosecutor had an obligation to proceed on the evidence. The prosecutor just can't willy-nilly, in the face of evidence, which at the time to anybody looking at this would have been indicative of guilt,
Reasonable conclusion,
oh, well, we're just not going to go ahead and prosecute this. Mm. And if people could recover for every instance of a situation like this, the chilling effect on prosecutions in general would be enormous.
I think I'm hearing you say our justice system is good, but it's imperfect.
It is.
Oh, well, yes.
Absent an adjudication by an entity that is all-knowing,
there are going
to be flaws in the system. And I think that's where the misgiving here is with the criminal justice system. Is I hear people say all the time, ours is fixed. We have to fix it because it's just wrong. Okay, first, show me a criminal justice system in any country in the world that's better than the one we have here. I'll wait. Go ahead, show me one, because you're going to be hard-pressed to find one, okay, that affords the same protections that we have here. And then the second is, and this was a hard thing to explain when I was to criminal defense, your clients, there's no constitutional guarantee that if you didn't do it, you're going to be found not guilty. What you're guaranteed is your right to trial, the right to present a defense, or the right to
confront witnesses.
You're entitled to try to poke holes all you can in the case, but you're not entitled to the outcome.
So get aggressive defense and fight it as hard as you can, especially if you know you're not guilty. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah? Absolutely. So with that, we'll be back after this. We've got a couple more updates to do.
We're going to hear why Pierce Brosnan pled guilty.
Oh, you don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this. Remington Steele pays the piper. We'll be back.
And the bison in the park are still regretting it. Coming up, more Radio Law Talk with Todd and Denise. Don't go anywhere. There's a lot of good stuff still coming in the last segment of Radio Law Talk. Big broadcast right now.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Remember, Radio Law Talk is available 9 to noon Pacific every Saturday, live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations coast to coast.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In. Ready to grow with you.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Man, I know this place right down the road. Quick, quack, car wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, quick, quack, car wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick, quack, car wash. They'll have you looking sharp.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now at 800-580-7703, 800-580-7703, 800-580-7703.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan or just not happy with what you're paying for? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate or at little or no cost to you? Your life needs are always changing, but have you done anything to improve your health insurance for you and your family? Health insurance laws and coverage are always changing and getting better. It's impossible to do all the research yourself, but now it's all done for you for free. So regardless of your age or medical condition, take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
Paid for by Cheaper Health Insurance.
800-635-7188. 800-635-7188. 800-635-7188. That's 800-635-7188.
Things have gotten out of hand with our friend again.
Oh, stop it.
Sit down, shut up, and listen.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
So, James Bond, Remington Steele, Pierce Brosnan, actor in both of those. Who was your, by the way, Denise, who was your favorite Bond and least favorite Bond?
Oh, that's hard.
Cal, I'll throw it to you, too.
Connery's the best. Sean Connery is absolutely the best ever. And then that little English guy, the little short guy, I can't think of it.
Craig,
Daniel Craig. Good actor, but not James Bond, sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't like him as James
Bond either. Too wispy for me. Just didn't work.
Daniel Craig you didn't like as James Bond.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm the same. I think it because he just didn't fit the profile.
Yeah, he wasn't manly at all. Pierce Brosnan had a certain aloofness about him, sort of like, who was the guy who played the saint? Can't think of his name.
Anyway, Val Kilmer.
Yeah, that guy.
Val Kilmer remake.
The guy before him.
Roger Moore.
Yeah. Yes, he and Pierce Brosnan, I thought, were very similar. Kind of manly man, a little aloof. Sean Connery, a manly man. And Daniel Craig, yeah, not so much.
All right.
Just my own
opinion. Denise, you?
No, I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. But, you know, Pierce Brosnan was, like, probably the best looking.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was really good looking.
Yeah. This is going to make you laugh. But, so, I have an affinity for the Roger Moore James Bonds because that was the first James Bond movie that I saw as a kid. You know, when you see the Moonraker and all of those, some titles I'm not going to say on the air.
Thank you.
So Roger Moore is what I identify. But if I look at Daniel Craig, is one of my favorite.
Why?
It's just because he sort of had he didn't get ruffled. I mean, he got frustrated sometimes, but he was always very confident in what he was going to do.
You mean within his character?
Within his character. And that's why I didn't like Pierce Brosnan, because the Pierce Brosnan Bond to me got a little too emotional. The one I liked the least is the one between Moore and Brosnan. Was it Dalton? Timothy Dalton?
He was a waste of time.
Yeah, I did not
like
him.
He did not belong there at all. Yeah.
But the thing I like about, and where I give Sean Connery super kudos, is Sean Connery did not have a who's played it before and how am I going to build on this character approach to it, because he was Bond.
He was quintessential. From him and out, everybody had to be compared to him.
Yes, he was the one that set the standard.
Yep.
It's like in guitar, Jimmy Page and Jimi Hendrix.
And Clapton.
And Clapton. Those were the guys that set the standard moving forward. But anyway,
I digress. But not stirred.
Shaken, not stirred. What do you got, Denise? What did Pierce Brosnan do?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's really horrible what he did.
All right, just
he should be in prison years.
Yeah, and you know, he appeared in court by phone and pled guilty. He was just too ashamed to show up in court.
Oh, such entitlement.
Yes. And so what he did was he did something very impulsive. He went to a snow-covered thermal.
In Yellowstone Park?
Geyser?
Yes, in one of those thermal
the geysers?
Fountains. Geysers, yeah. There we
like
go.
Like Old Faithful. That
right,
kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And he stood there and he took a selfie. So one of the things that is a no-no in that national park especially is you do not go up to the geysers. You stay away from them because you could damage them, but also you could be killed.
Say nothing of the danger to the human
exactly.
who does such. Right.
So he went ahead and said, you know, I'm an environmentalist and I'm really, really mad at myself for doing this. I love our natural land. And so I have to admit, I did this. It was not my best moment. So he was fined $500. He had to make a $1,000 donation to Yellowstone nonprofit organization. And then the magistrate dismissed it.
Oh, so didn't he put it on his record afterward? Is that what you
nope.
mean? That's perfect.
Well,
and
you know, in deference to our politically correct crowd, instead of calling them geysers, we should call them non-binary zers. But still.
Vasers.
Vasers. Yes, vasers. Sorry. So Pierce Brosnan paid the piper, or pipette. He paid the piper there. Okay. Scott Peterson, he of the...
What's with this anyway?
All right,
I'm confused about this.
Convicted of the double murder of his wife and unborn child. We'll put aside the irony there. But convicted of two counts of murder, got the death penalty. And in the appeals process, because of anomalies in jury selection and what happened, ultimately the death penalty was overturned, not that it was ever going to be enforced because in California because of the stay. But now he's got the Innocence Project fighting for a new trial or to overturn based upon a theory. Now, he's got a sister-in-law that claims, hey, he's innocent. He did not do this, and there's a lot of theories here. But this all really stems from the claim that there was a van parked close by and that there was a claim that maybe she had been abducted when she got home earlier or walked in on a home invasion and that she was thrown into the van and that there was blood in the van or samples that could have been tested in the van that might have come back to her and come back to other as opposed to... And if that's the case, then maybe it would have exonerated Scott Peterson. Now, as Denise and I were talking, there's a lot of hoops you got to jump through, not the least of which are, okay, if somebody else did it, then they had to have the presence of mind to dump her body in the same area where he always went fishing. And it's just a lot of things, but...
It's a classic straw man theory, though, is it not?
It is.
But the real question here is it evidence that could exonerate him? That's the question. I think that's a threshold question.
Meaning right. create reasonable doubt, Denise? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Yes.
Well, so right now, what they're really doing is, so there's a lot of hay has been made over the fact that the defense team is claiming that there was evidence that was not turned over that should have been turned over 20 years ago. Now, here's the problem with that argument. The prosecution has an obligation to turn over two types of evidence. One, they have an obligation to turn over to the defense to discover anything that the prosecution intends to use at trial. And then they also have a duty to turn over anything that might be exculpatory or lead to exculpatory evidence. Now, the stuff they're turning over right now, there would be no problem with the with them not having turned it over 20 years ago if they didn't use it at trial, prosecution, and if it is not exculpatory or doesn't lead to exculpatory evidence. Right now, the defense team for Peterson is going to pour through that evidence to try to make a claim this was exculpatory, and had we known it, this would have been different. Their whole case to try to exonerate him hinges on whether or not the evidence that is now being turned over turns out to be exculpatory. We don't know that yet.
But Todd, I'm going to think out loud with you because, as you know, I'm not very bright on this stuff, but why didn't his defense come up with this stuff at that point in time? Isn't that their job?
Well, they could have. However,
the evidence was withheld.
If the evidence was in the possession of the prosecution and the prosecution didn't turn it over, the defense might not even have known about it.
How did they come up with it?
I don't know. I don't know how they came up with it.
That's my question. If they had it, why didn't
I think it's after the fact. They found out after the fact because they found out about this alleged break-in and relationship to a brown van after the fact.
If I'm the prosecutor some 20 years ago, I am hoping beyond all hope that the Peterson defense team cannot come across anything that's exculpatory or that would lead to exculpatory, because then I got a problem.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. But right now,
you know what's going to happen now?
Yes.
It's time for you to give us your quick takes. And Denise, are you ready with yours? Or you want to go with Todd first?
I'll go.
All right, go. Here we go.
I am so looking forward to Fyre Festival 2. I want to see what losers are going for round two.
There you go. Did you buy a new bathing suit and everything? I mean, you're just going to go check it out, huh? Todd, what's your quick take?
Right now, we've got opioid problem, fentanyl problem, drug problem statewide. We've got issues with crime on the increase, gun violence, all this kind of stuff. But I guess I'm happy to know that in some national park somewhere, the FBI is staking out a geyser through binoculars saying, all right, we don't move until he hits record on the phone.
All right, people, go, go, go.
Go, get him. Swarm, swarm, swarm. All right, that'll do us for Radio Law Talk here. Thanks for joining us this week. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Happy that you join us now. Hope you join us then. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com. Been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.